ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة يقاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون وعدا عليه حقا في التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن ومن أوفى بعهده من الله فاستبشروا ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به وذلك هو الفوز العظيم. Refreshing and enlighten your souls, your hearts and your sessions with a loud salawat for Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Tonight is the eve of Ashura. It's a very sanctified and solemn night. It's the night of mourning and lamentation for a major tragedy in this universe. Not only a cause of sorrow for us, the human here on this earth. We are sharing this sorrow and this grief with all the inhabitants of the heaven, with the great messengers of God, apostles of God, infallible imams, angels. They are all eulogizing Imam Hussein alayhi salam tonight, and his family members and his companions. This is a very special night in this universe. We are sharing our sympathy and our empathy with Ahlul Bayt. This is the request of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he holds Hussein in his arms. And he says, Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn. He is of me and I am of him. Ahabba Allah man ahabba Husayna. God loves, or may God love, the one who loves Husayn. And the one who shares the sorrow, the grief, the sadness tonight with Imam Husayn alayhi salam. He is beloved in the eyes of Allah. So you are a special person tonight. When you came here, when you took some time to make it to this session and to other sessions, to share the sadness with the Prophet, with Amir al-Mu'mineen, with Fatima al-Zahra. You are a very beloved and a special person in the eyes of God. Today we are sharing this with multitudes, with masses of people around the whole globe. I can tell you that tonight and tomorrow, in each and every corner around the whole globe, Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the day of Ashura is being commemorated. One session ends, another session begins. First, people begin the morning in Australia, and then the Far East, in Japan, in China. By the time they finish, the people of the Middle East, they begin the morning. In Africa, everywhere in the Middle East. By the time the people in the Middle East, they end, sessions of morning, people in Europe begin. By the time you finish here, people in America, on the East Coast of America, then on the West Coast of America, they begin these festivities of commemorating an important man in the history of mankind. And that is Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. When we study the events of Ashura, we will find that there were three events, three incentives and motives that made Imam Hussein alayhi salam begin his revolution and his uprising against the unjust rule of Bani Umayyah. Three important reasons. One is when they put pressure on Imam Hussein to pay the oath of allegiance to Yazid, and Imam Hussein refused. Second is the invitation of the Muslim Ummah, people of conscience, people of freedom who are aspiring freedom from captivity of Bani Umayyah. They asked him to lead the movement of change and reform against Bani Umayyah. And third, it was the principle, adherence to an important principle in Islam, al-amru bil-ma'roof wal-nahyu anil-munkar, enjoining good and forbidding evil. These three altogether, these three factors, they contributed into the making of the day of Ashura. Let's have a glance over them. Quick glance. The first one was when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was oppressed and he was asked to pay allegiance to Yazid. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan ruled the Muslim nation for almost 40 years. With iron fist, he ruled the nation ruthlessly by force and coercion. And before his death, in the year 60 of Hijrah, he prepared his son to succeed him, his son Yazid ibn Muawiyah. He facilitated the coronation of his son to be the next king. And Muawiyah changed the Khilafah, the succession to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, into monarchy. This is not what we say, the followers of Ahlul Bayt. This is the analysis of the most prominent historians, someone like Ibn Khaldun. Ibn Khaldun does not favor Ahlul Bayt, but when he comes to this point, succession to the Prophet, he says, Banu Umayyah, Umayyad dynasty, they shifted the Khilafah from being succession to the Prophet to being a monarchy, royal family, succeeding one another. So Muawiyah started these preparations. He called one of his senior aides by the name of Ziyad ibn Abi. He called Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah and he said to them, I have this idea in my mind. Before I die, I want to see my son succeeding me, becoming Amir al-Mu'mineen. They said to him that your son is so mired in sins, corruption and a crime. People are not going to accept this invitation. People are not going to pay allegiance to him. But Muawiyah insisted on having his son, crowning him as Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Khalifatul Muslimin. successor to the Prophet. When Muawiyah died in the year 60 Hijri, Yazid at that time, he was going for a hunting expedition outside Damascus. When he heard the news of his father's death, he went back to Damascus, to the palace. The first thing he did, to write an urgent letter to his first cousin, the governor of Medina at that time, Al-Walid ibn Utbah ibn Abi Sufyan, his first cousin, asking him to summon the prominent leaders of Medina, and since Medina at that time was the intellectual, spiritual hub of Islam, ask the prominent leaders of Medina, especially Imam Hussein alayhi salam, summon him to the palace and ask him to pay allegiance to him, to Yazid. And this is what Al-Walid did. A few days later, the messenger gets the message to Yazid. And Yazid and Al-Walid asks Imam Hussein to come to his palace. He goes to his palace and he asks him to pay allegiance. Today, we have a new Khalifa by the name of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he left the meeting and he said very conclusively and decisively, "Inna ahlu bayt al-nubuwa wa ma'dan al-risala wa Yazid rajulun fasiqun fajirun sharibun lil-khamr qatilun lil-nafs al-muhtaramah wa mithli la yubayi'u mithlah." صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. ومثلي لا يبايع مثله. Here, Imam Hussein was saying very, very clearly, in very short words, he was describing Yazid very accurately. Yazid is an unjust man, desolate, licentious, godless, corrupt, murderer, tippler, ruthless, and someone like me who hails from the family of a prophethood and messengerhood would not put his hand in the hand of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. I wouldn't do that. Yazid was the embodiment of corruption. Yazid was the personification of evil and sin. How can someone like me, who's supposed to take care of the nation and the community and God's message on earth, to come and support Yazid? And Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. They put pressure on the Imam. The Imam could not stay any longer in Medina, so he had to leave Medina. Sahih al-Bukhari says, if you open Sahih al-Bukhari, there is a reference to Yazid. There is a reference to Yazid in Sahih al-Bukhari. Sahih al-Bukhari narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Halaku ummati ala yadi ughaylimatin min Quraysh." The end of my community will come to an end, listen, halak, will perish and come to an end. My community will die. Spiritually will die. At the hands of a childish boy from Quraysh. This is a clear reference to Yazid ibn Muawiyah. So Imam Hussein refused to pay allegiance. And as a result of that, he had to leave the city of Medina, his birthplace. Imam Hussein went to Mecca. This incident took place in the month of Rajab, year 60. If you want to have some background about the event that precipitated Ashura, this is one of them. It took place during the month of Rajab, year 60. Imam Hussein left the city of Medina. He arrived into Mecca in Sha'ban of the same year, 60 for the Hijrah. He stayed in Mecca for almost 120 days. During this time in Mecca, people knew, the news spreads all over the Muslim countries that Imam Hussein left his birthplace. This is a major event. Why should for the grandson of the Prophet leaves Medina? For what reason? He doesn't have enough money. He does not have a shelter. He died for that. So they realized that Imam Hussein refused to pay allegiance to Yazid, and therefore he ends up in Mecca. Scores of people, they come to visit Imam Hussein from all over the Muslim nations and communities. As far as Iraq, Yemen, Basra, Kufa, Madain, other countries, plethora of people came to invite him to lead the uprising against Bani Umayyah. They told him, Yabna Rasulullah, we are fed up with this regime, with this system of Bani Umayyah. We are seeking salvation. We are seeking guidance. We are looking up to a savior. We are looking for someone, and there is no one is better than you to lead this effort against Bani Umayyah, to bring us freedom. Imagine why people were fed up with Bani Umayyah. Despite, along with what Muawiyah was doing, the time of Yazid, Yazid ruled for 3 years and 6 months. And these are his achievements. Number one, year 61 Hijri, he murders Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala. In the year 62, he attacks the city of Medina. They seize the city. They surround the city, his troops, who went from Syria. They surround the city of Medina al-Munawwara. And then they make it a free zone for their soldiers. They kill 10,000 innocents in Medina. They rape women. Some of the historians, they write that some of the women and girls were raped inside Masjid al-Nabi. Inside the masjid. He makes it a free zone for 3 days. Declares among his army that you can do, enjoy your time in Medina. Do what you want to do. In Iraq, an American soldier kills members of an Iraqi family. He's court-martialed in America. Everybody knows about it. Yazid ibn Muawiyah, I want the extremists in the school of the Sahaba to read the history of Islam, those who are defending Yazid and calling him Amir al-Mu'mineen al-Mazloom, the one who has been wronged. I want them to study the history of... This is not our history. This is a history written by prominent Sunni historians, Ibn al-Athir, al-Tabari. I want them to go to these references and see what Yazid did in the capital of Islam, where all the people were the companions of the Prophet. They were not strangers or aliens coming from a different country. The inhabitants of Medina. In the 3rd year of his rule, he attacked the city of Mecca al-Mukarrama. The Kaaba that you see, the Kaaba has been demolished several times. One of them by the aggression of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. In the year 63... he seized Mecca and he destroys the Kaaba. This is Yazid ibn Muawiyah. I'd love for our brothers and sisters, the Sunnis, to understand Yazid ibn Muawiyah better. I don't want them to be misled. This is not a Shia-Sunni war here. This is, on the one hand, all free people who have conscience, who have reason, who follow reason, are on one side. On the other side are the ruthless people who do not want to follow the truth. So Imam Hussein received letters, invitation letters, and therefore he sent Muslim ibn Aqil to explore the situation, the condition of the Muslim Ummah. Muslim goes, arrives into Kufa. And then within the very first few days, people pay allegiance to him. Thousands of people pay allegiance to him. And he writes back, reports back to Imam Hussein that in my first few days here in this city, almost 18,000 people paid allegiance to you. People are waiting for your arrival. People are thirsty, aspiring to see you, to have your help, to be their leader. Muslim nation was lost and they were looking for someone to save their dignity. So that was the second reason which led the Imam to go. The reason that led the Imam to go to Karbala. We come to the third incentive and the most important motive, and that is the adherence to the principle, to the article of faith in Islam. الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. This is a very important article. This article was deserted, abandoned and forgotten by the Muslim nation at that time. No one will mention it, although it has been repeated oftentimes in the Holy Quran, many times. Whenever Allah speaks about prayers and fasting, He speaks about enjoining good and forbidding evil. الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Islam is not just to prayers or fasting or hajj. There is something maybe more important than that. Your safety and your security is a paramount in Islam. Your moral safety, your spiritual security. If you can't establish peace and security, you can't worship God. And the only way to establish peace and security on earth is by enjoining good, promoting noble qualities, and fighting, forbidding evil and sin. الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And therefore Imam Hussein, it was this incentive. Islam was dead. أَلَا تَرَوْنَ إِلَى الْحَقِّ لَا يُعْمَلُ بِهِ وَالْبَاطِلُ لَا يُتَنَاهَى عَنْهِ لِيَرْغَبَ الْمُؤْمِنُ فِي لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ فَإِنِّي لَا أَرَى الْمَوْتَ إِلَّا سَعَادَةً وَالْحَيَاةِ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا بَرَمَةً. O masses, O Muslims, don't you see that truth has been abandoned? Falsehood is rampant. لَا يُتَنَاهَى عَنْهَا. Islam came to stand still. Islam was breathing the last. Muslims only by name, not by character, not by substance. Islam was void of substance. This was Islam. Imagine the Khalifa, a role model, role model. If today the leader of this country or any other country goes on the television and asks his people, his subjects, not to drink alcohol, but while he's telling them don't drink alcohol, he has a bottle of wine in his hand. Would people listen to him? People say, this is hypocrite. This is a liar. He asks me not to drink, but he's drinking. This is what Yazid ibn Muawiyah did, even when he went to Mecca. His father Muawiyah decided that Yazid, my corrupt son, he needs some rehabilitation. Before he becomes Amir al-Mu'mineen, we need to do some polishing for him. So let's send him to Mecca, to Hajj. Let him do Hajj first. When he went to Hajj, it's in the history. Even when he went to Hajj, he said, I need drink. They thought he needs Zamzam water. They brought some Zamzam. This is. He said, no, drink. Drink. I need wine. He was doing Hajj and having wine. دع المساجد للعباد تسكنها واجلس على دكة الخمار واسقينا. This is his words. Keep the mosques for the worshippers. Let them enjoy worshipping their Lord. Bring me a bottle of wine. Let me enjoy my life here. This is Yazid. This is Yazid ibn Muawiyah. الشجر الملعونة في القرآن. The best description and the most true description for Bani Umayyah is found in the heart of the Qur'an. وَالشَّجَرَةَ الْمَلْعُونَةَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Cursed family, cursed lineage. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he took upon himself. When he was about to leave Hijaz and go to Iraq, scores of people came to him, Yabna Rasulullah, do not venture, do not go to Iraq. People will betray you. You are not going to score victory in Iraq. Stay with us here, we need you. We need you in Mecca and Medina. This was the answer of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, لقد سمعت جدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول I was 6 years old, 7 years old when I heard my grandfather saying من رأى منكم سلطانا جائرا مستحلا لحرم الله ناكثا لعهد الله مخالفا لسنة رسول الله يعمل في عباد الله بالإثم والعدوان فَلَمْ يُغَيِّرْ عَلَيْهِ بِفَعْلٍ وَلَا قَوْلٍ كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُدْخِلَهُ مَدْخَلَهُ I heard my grandfather saying, if you find, if any Muslim person finds a despotic ruler, sultanan jairan, breaching God's sanctity, betraying God's covenant, opposing the tradition of his apostle, acting with sin and aggression among the servants of God, and he does not change the condition, the situation, with his sayings and his actions, it is incumbent upon God to put that man with the same tyrant in the same place. Where is the same place? The hellfire. كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُدْخِلَهُ مَدْخَلًا Meaning that the one who lives under tyranny, despotic rule, but you enjoy it. You don't say anything. You do not oppose it. You keep silent. You don't change. You don't try to change. You're going to have, this is paramount, to being standing on the side of the same tyrant and being one of his aid. This is what the Prophet said. Imam Hussein said, people, I want you to understand me. This is the reason I'm leaving Hijaz and going to Iraq. This is mandatory on me. Now some people come and some historians, they argue, was it necessary for Imam Hussein to go and confront Yazid? Was it necessary for Imam Hussein to jeopardize his life and the life of his family and waste his life? Was it really necessary? I say the following. I say this is here the problem when one misunderstands the message of Islam, the true message of Islam. When someone begins to misunderstand Islam, he will turn the Quranic teachings upside down. When the Quranic teachings are turned upside down, you are not going to understand the spirit of Islam. You are going to understand exactly the opposite to it. If you go to the market today and you buy a beautiful portrait, very expensive, you bring it home, and when you want to fix it on the wall, you put it upside down. Let me ask you, would that be presentable? Beautiful portrait? When your friend come to see it, would he say this is a beautiful? He wouldn't say this is beautiful, because it's upside down. Imagine if they put this one upside down. Would you be able to read it? No. Islam was being put upside down. This is when you look, when you misunderstand Islam. In Orlando, Florida, there is a building near Walt Disney. Some of you who have been there, you have noticed that building. It has been put upside down. A mock building, not real building, but it's upside down. This building is not livable. You can't go to your house if they put the house upside down. You can't. The same with faith and religion and Quran. I would say to those people who are questioning Imam Hussein and his uprising, whether it was necessary or not, let me ask you, if you think it was not necessary, then all the work and the effort and the sacrifice of all the martyrs from day one of the humanity. Martyrs of Badr and Uhud, those who were killed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What they did was wrong then. Was it necessary for them to go and give their life? Why? What they did was wrong. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your survival in this life depends on your sacrifice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah made a deal, a covenant with the true believers in return for their wealth and souls and lives. There is an exchange. And that is paradise. يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. This is jihad. فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيَقْتَلُونَ وَعْدًا عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا. Not only in Islam. فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالْقُرْآنِ. In all religions, in all universal religions, this covenant and this purchase of the souls of the true believers began with Musa alayhi salam, even before the time of Musa. Allah says, we put this deal in the Torah, in the Gospel, in the Holy Quran. في التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن ومن أوفى بعهده من الله فاستبشروا ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به وذلك هو الفوز العظيم. الشهداء أمراء أهل الجنة. The martyrs are the princes of paradise. You think it was not necessary then for Imam Hussein to go? Imam Hussein is the one who saved Islam for me and you. Otherwise, Allah sent prophets to Bani Israel. The largest contingency of the prophets and messengers were sent to Bani Israel. But yet, after that era, Judaism was changed. Allah sent messengers again to Bani Israel, Isa alayhi salam, renewing the message of Musa and bringing something new, the Bible. After Isa, his message was changed. And this is exactly what was about to happen for the message of Khatamul Anbiya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The message was about to change. It was the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam who stopped that change and that alteration and concoction of Islam and Quran. Imam Hussein said, I have a principle. This principle is dead. And it is only me who can resurrect it and revive this principle of Al-Amr Bil-Ma'ruf. And it was not only my dear sister, my dear brother. This principle was not only during the time of Imam Hussein. Today, in the same way that you have to pray and you have to fast, you have to adhere to enjoining good and forbidding bad. You can't say, I can't do anything. You can't just stop aside as a spectator and just watch the events unfolding. You have to do something. You have to help. You can't just be indifferent. You have to do something. Each one according to his ability and capacity. You have to defend your religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. You have been the best community emerged for the whole people of the globe. Why? Because of two important things. Because you have been enjoining good and forbidding evil. And if you enjoy good and forbid evil, after that you can have the right to believe in Allah. تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. The third one is تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. If you do good, enjoy the good, enjoin the good, forbid the evil, after that you can find the real faith. Before it, it's not real faith. You have to enjoin the good first. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the antiquities, nations who perished, who are dead today, none of them survived. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the reason in the Quran. You know what was the reason? Why these civilizations and nations, they perished and they had no single survival today? Allah says in the Quran, كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوهُ لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. The reason, they did not enjoin good. They did not forbid evil. They would not tell each other that this is bad, don't do it. This is why they perished. This is why they were chastised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوهُ لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. And today, brothers and sisters, we have a duty ahead of us. The reason why we come to Imam Hussein's sessions is to learn, not just to listen. To listen in order for us to learn, in order for us to implement, in order for us to go home and reflect. Reflect on what we are learning here. Reflect on our duties here. What is my duty tonight? Imam Hussein gave his life for me. Just to come here and mourn him, beat my chest, and say, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. That is the message of Ashura. Mourning is very good, and we are going to mourn. But there is something behind that. Let me ask myself, am I fulfilling my duty? One of them is Al-Amr Bil-Ma'ruf Wa-Nahi Anil Munkar. You have to enjoin good. You are a member of a family. If you see some ills, if you see some corruption, if you see some violation of Allah's rules, you can't shut your mouth and say, this is none of my business. You can't say this. You have to go to your neighbor, to your friend. You have to tell them that this is wrong. This is not good. And if they don't do good, you have to tell them to enjoin the good. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ أَجْرًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Some of you come to me and tell me, I do pray, my sister does not pray, my mother doesn't pray, my father does not pray. Shall I tell them or not? Of course you have to tell them. If you want to remain safe in that family, if you want your family to remain together, not to disintegrate, then of course you have to tell them. Let me ask you this. If there is a good deal outside, there is some sale somewhere here, they sell the shirt which is 50 pounds, let's say in the market, the average price is 50 pounds, they sell it for 2 pounds. And you go and you buy for yourself. And if you have some family members and friends that you care about them, you love them, would you call them and tell them there is a good deal here, come and buy or not? Definitely you will. You want them to benefit. Likewise, when it comes to spiritual issues and moral issues, if you think something is good, then you have to do it. Not only you, your family members, you have to enjoin them to do it. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. And Allah says, when you enjoin the good, do not expect people to listen to you right away. People would not change right away. وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. You have to be steadfast. You have to be patient. It takes time. This means that you have to tell them one time, twice, thrice, four times, 10 times, until they do it. Do not give up. وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Allah says, I promise you, if you promise me to be consistent in your advice, I promise you, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى, for those who are pious and righteous. The عَاقِبَة, the good end, will be of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Shu'aib, يَا شُعَيْب, إِنِّي مُعَذِّبٌ مِّن قَوْمِكَ 100,000. 60,000 من الأخيار وأربعون ألف من الأشرار. Shu'aib was shocked. Allah said to him, Ya Shu'aib, about 100,000 of your community are going to be punished by me. But not all of them are bad. 60,000 of them are good. 40,000 of them are bad. So Shu'aib said, إِلَهِ هَؤُلَاءِ الْأَشْرَارِ فَمَا بَالُ الْأَخْيَارِ. I understand if you punish the evil one, the corrupt one, but why do you punish the good one? Allah says to him, يَا شُعَيْبُ لِأَنَّهُمْ دَاهَنُوا أَهْلَ الْمَعَاصِي وَلَمْ يَغْضِبُوا لِغَضَبِي. Because they sided with the people of sin. They had solidarity with them. They had companionship with them. They had a friendship with them, with the people of sin. And they did not become angry for God's wrath and God's anger. They did not side with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have a friend of you who has been your friend for 20 years, all of a sudden one day you have a quarrel and conflict with another person and you find your friend standing with that person against you, would you be upset or not? Of course you'll be upset. This is the real friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the friendships one day will end. Imam Ali alayhi salam has a beautiful saying. Imam Ali says, أحبب حبيبك هونا ما عسى أن يكون عدوك يوما ما. Be easy. Take it easy. When you have a friendship, leave some room that one day this friend, intimate friend of you is going to turn against you. وَأَبْغِضْ عَدُوَّكَ هَوْنًا مَا عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ حَبِيبَكَ يَوْمًا. And when someone you consider him as your enemy, again leave some room for you to go back to him. Maybe one day this enemy, bad enemy of you, is going to be your friend. But the only one who does not turn against you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the true friend. يا غاية آمال العارفين يا غياث المستغيثين. Don't turn against him, he would never turn against you. Even if we turn against him, he is still running after us, holding our hands. Still he comes from one corner to another corner with me, trying to wake me up, tell me, come back to me, to my mercy. I would never stop my mercy from you. So, al-amr bil-ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. Banu Umayyah, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to conclude here. I want you to listen very carefully. Banu Umayyah, this evil dynasty of Bani Umayyah, they were the fierce enemy of Islam from day one. Not during the day of Ashura. It goes back to 50, 60, 70 years before. Abu Sufyan and his ancestors too. If you look at the history of Bani Umayyah, you would realize that they were the real enemy of Islam. Allah does not have a prejudice against them when He says about them, وَالشَّجَرَ الْمَلْعُونَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. This is the reality. This is their reality. Abu Sufyan, he spearheaded the fight and his crusade against the Prophet and the Muslims for over 20 years. Killing them and torturing them and destroying their properties, confiscating their properties in Mecca. Abu Sufyan spearheaded the fight in all the battles against Islam. Read the history of Islam. And when they failed in their mission to obliterate and destroy Islam, they decided to come and join Islam. Ammar ibn Yasir says, استسلموا ولم يسلموا. In fact, it was not submission to God. It was a forced surrenderance to the Prophet. They had no choice. So they decided to infiltrate Islam from within like a termite and corrode Islam from within. And this is what they did. This is the history of Bani Umayyah. So who will stand for them? We borrow someone from China, from India, from Africa. Of course, Imam Hussein has to stand for them. The submission of Imam Hussein and the passiveness of Imam Hussein and yielding, succumbing to Bani Umayyah would have meant the end of Islam. And Imam Hussein would not do that. He's the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the first defender of the truth. He's the son of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the son of the Prophet. And he has to stand up for this mission. It was the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that saved Islam, revived Islam, revamped, revitalized, revamped Islam and the Muslim nation. The blood of Imam Hussein, this sacrosanct blood of this man, which was the catalyst of revival and reforms and change in Islam. Islam needed someone like Imam Hussein. At that time, speeches, sermons would not do any good. They were all fruitless. Allah wanted a man like Hussein to give his blood, period. Imam Hussein says to his relatives, Sha Allah an yarani qatila. The survival of Islam depends only on the blood on that day. Not any blood. The blood of Al-Husayn ibn Ali wa ibn Fatimah al-Zahra alayhim as-salam. On his blood. And this is why Imam Hussein, when Allah, he knew that Allah needs his blood, Imam Hussein, he went forward. He was happy. Ilahi ridham biqaba'ik. As long as my blood can change and revive Islam and save Islam from this humiliation and misery, I can give my blood. And he was generous not only with his blood, with the blood of those who were so close and dear to him. All his children, his cousins, his brothers. Ali ibn Abi Talib, in the day of Ashura, he had 10 children who gave their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 10 children of Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And today Imam Hussein is the universal icon of reform and revival, the icon of nobility and sacrifice, not only for us the Shia. Today, Hussein, wherever you go on the earth, Hussein is valued. Hussein is appreciated. Hussein is respected today. Everywhere on the earth. The day of Ashura, brothers and sisters, took only half a day, 6 hours, the battle of Ashura. Only 6 hours. Began at just before noon and ended 3 hours, maximum 4 hours in the afternoon. Before sunset, everything was finished. Everything was finished. But look at this battle of Ashura. It has been eternalized, immortalized, perpetual day. كل يوم عاشوراء وكل أرض كربلاء. Why? Ask yourself why. Why? You people here who are sitting here, if I ask you, the majority of you, maybe you are not able to go to Islamic centers or sessions. But wherever you are on the earth, you have to go for the day of Ashura and the event of Ashura. Why? Did you ask yourself? Is it just a mere tradition? Just a tradition that you learned from your father and mother? Or there is something else behind it? Ask yourself why. Because the day of Ashura and this battle of Ashura was not between two men. Was not between two princes. It was between two principles and two values. One, exemplified in Imam Hussein, all the nobilities, all the goodness, the essence of the message of all the messengers of God, exemplified on the day of Ashura in Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And Yazid was the embodiment of all the evil and sins in this universe. This is why Ashura is important. Ashura is not a struggle between two families, two tribes, or two armies. Ashura is a struggle between, on the one hand, truth versus falsehood. Justice versus injustice. Light versus darkness. Glory, pride versus humiliation and disgrace represented in Bani Umayyah. This is the essence of Ashura. Ashura is a source of inspiration for us. You will see the result of Ashura, maybe not tonight, maybe not tomorrow. But it will be with you for a long time. The effect of Imam Hussein. And this is why you have to commemorate this event every year. Every year. Make a pledge with Imam Hussein that wherever you are on the earth, wherever you go, wherever you live, wherever you study, wherever you get married, you have to commemorate the majlis of Hussein alayhi salam. This is the main source of inspiration for us. This is what brings to us dignity. Brothers and sisters, this conflict between good and bad started the first day of this earth. If you look at the calendar of the earth, the very first day. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. Qabil wa Habil. Allah says in the Quran, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. Cain said to Abel, I will slay you. لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. Because of his jealousy. Because of his evil nature. لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. He knows this is his sibling and his brother from the same father and the same mother. But yet this is jealousy here. لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. What was the answer of Habil? قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. If you become pious, Allah will accept your sacrifice. But since you are cheating on God, when God asked us to give sacrifice, I gave the best and you gave the worst. And this is why Allah rejected your sacrifice. But once you become pious and change your mind, قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. لَإِنْ بَسَطْتَ يَدَكَ إِلَيَّ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهُ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Just reflect on this word. أَخَافُ اللَّهُ. At the time of sin, just think about this. Habil, he was not less intelligent than Qabil. He was not less able than him. He did not have less strength than him. But the only thing that Habil had and Qabil lacked is faith in Allah. Habil says, I know one day I'm going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I'm going to be accountable before him. So this struggle started on that day. And it continued. And Ashura will continue to the day that we're going to see, we're going to have the honor to witness and see the illuminating face of Al-Imam Al-Hujjah ibn Al-Hasan Al-Mahdi Arwahuna Lahu Al-Fida. That is the day where Ashura will end. The day of justice. The day of universal justice and peace. So tonight, before I enter the musibah, let me leave you with this question tonight. Take it with you home and think about it. Don't give me the answer now. When you go home tonight, before you sleep, answer yourself. Put it on a piece of paper, the answer. Where do you stand? We have two camps. From day one, we had two camps. The camp of truth and the camp of falsehood. Ask yourself, where should I stand? Where should I stand? Where shall I join? Which camp shall I join? Ask yourself. If you as a brother, today you are able to meet Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You see him in your dream. And Imam Hussein stands before you. Let me ask you, would you tell him, Aba Abdullah, I want to be part of your company or not? Definitely most of you are going to tell him, yes, I want to be part of your company, your army, your companions. And if you, sister, were about to see Zainab alayhi salam tonight in your dream, Would you tell her, Sayyidati, or my lady, my master, I want to join your group. Would you tell her or not? Definitely, all of you are going to say yes to her. And then what else are you going to tell her? What else are you going to tell Imam Hussein? Maybe you will tell him, how can I help you, Ya Aba Abdullah? What do you want me to do for you? Are you in need or not? He will say, yes, I am in need to you. You're going to tell him, how can I help you? The answer is from Zainab and Hussein both. And I am sure that this is the answer. To you as youth here living in the West, they're going to tell you, don't sell yourself cheap. Be honorable. Be dignified. Take care of yourself in a good way. Appreciate your value. You have a role in this life. Imam Hussein would tell you, I want you to sacrifice something for Islam. Zainab is going to tell you, I want you to sacrifice something for Islam. I want you to work hard. The legacy of Imam Hussein is sacrifice. Are we sacrificing? I don't think so. So let's begin from tonight. From tonight, let's begin the sacrifice. I was told that there is forms for volunteers. They need you. You are the soldiers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Male and female in this session. You are the soldiers. Give some of your time. I'm not saying go and carry the sword and go to the battlefield. Your brothers and sisters in Iraq today are suffering. There is almost a daily carnage. Just before I came to the session here, I heard on the news that there were several Aza sessions of Abi Abdullah in Baghdad and other provinces that were attacked by the enemies of God and Islam. Many people were killed during the Aza. Men, women and children were attacked in Iraq, in Pakistan, just now, today. Just today, while you were sitting here, your brothers and sisters being slaughtered. I'm not saying let's go and give blood. I'm saying let's go and give some time, some attention to Imam Hussein. Many of you in this country can defend Islam in Iraq by your voice, by your pen. Try to defend Islam there. Speak up. Say whether it's the media or the government or your friends, universities, intellectuals. Tell them about the reality. The reality. What is happening in Iraq. And why we are being murdered. Why? Why we are being murdered? Because we are criminals? Why? Why today we are the target of this ruthless, merciless people? Why? You have to say, you have to speak up. Don't just sit, say, I go to my school and I have finals and I have exams and then I come back home. Allah wants to see you doing something for Imam Hussein, for Islam. Now I want you to transfer your hearts and your souls to the eternal life, land. The eternal land of Karbala. To the land of Imam Hussein, to his mausoleum, to his shrine, to his grave. And I want you to greet Imam Hussein tonight before we embark on his final journey. And tomorrow, inshallah, we're going to have the Maqtal at the foundation, Ahlul Bayt Foundation, 75 Bronzebury Park. And tomorrow evening, we're going to have the last session here at 8 p.m., inshallah. The last session, to give condolences to Ahlul Bayt. Tomorrow is the day of mourning, the day of Aza. Please, please, my dear sisters and brothers, I want you when you leave here to think that these days and these moments are moments of mourning, not happiness. Not happiness. When you have someone that you love and you miss him and he's gone, ask yourself, how is your feeling? Are you happy? Are you smiling? These are not the moments of smiling anymore. These are moments of sadness, sorrow, grief. If you are about to see Fatima al-Zahra now, even though she lives in paradise, but today is the eve of Ashura tonight, and tomorrow is the day of Ashura. She is very sorrowful. She's grieving for Hussein. Malaikatu as-sama, the angels, they are sorrowful tonight and tomorrow for this tragedy. So please, I want to see that on your behavior. Promise me, not me, who's me? Promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show, to express, to manifest your sadness for Abi Abdullah al-Hussein tonight. And tomorrow, and tomorrow. If you can skip the school, skip the school. Not because you don't like knowledge. I know all of you like your studies and books and knowledge. And you must. But for the sake of Imam Hussein. So when someone asks you on Wednesday, we didn't see you yesterday, you tell him, yesterday was an important day in my history, in my life, and my future. I was mourning the martyrdom of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now I want you to greet Imam Hussein. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Repeat after me. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifinaik. Wa anakhat birahlik. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. This is the last night of his physical life, but the first night of his heavenly life, eternal life. Imam Hussein, when all the companions, they fulfilled their covenant with Allah, all the ashab, none of them survived, Imam Hussein alayhi salam came. He looked, نظر يمينا ويسارا فلم ير من أصحابه إلا من صافح التراب جبينه وقطع الحمام أنينه. He looked left and right to search for one more survival he could not find. All of them were bodies, beheaded, dead bodies on the ground of Karbala, on the soil, the dust of Karbala. At that time, Imam Hussein went to his camp, to his family members, waqafa alayhim. He started calling them by names, one by name, Ya Zainab, Ya Umma Kulthum, Ya Ruqayya, Ya Atika, Ya Safiya, Ya Rabab, Ya Layla. عليكن مني السلام. This is the last time you hear my greetings and my salam. فقد قرب منكن الافتجاع الوداع الوداع لقد قرب منكن الافتجاع. They came out, the entire camp of Imam Hussein, everybody in the camp, almost 83 women and children, they all came out. They gathered around Imam Hussein عليه السلام. They circled around him. Imam Hussein amarahunna bis-sukut. They were sobbing and crying. He asked them to hold their cries for 1 minute because he has something important to say. They were asking him, wondering, who you are leaving behind with us? Who is going to take care of us? Who is going to protect us? And the answer of Imam Hussein, and he wanted them to hear this answer, he was saying that with full confidence, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَافِظُكُنَّ وَنَاصِرُكُنَّ وَهَادِكُنَّ. Do not worry. If Hussein is going to go now, the Lord of Hussein is staying with you. Allah is going to protect you. Don't worry about that. You are in safe hands, in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is going to bestow patience on you. Allah is going to bestow and grant you with guidance, safety, protection. This is the teachings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He was not worried about his family because he knows Allah asked him to give his life and his blood, is going to take care of his family. أحطنا بالحسين. Everybody was encircling him. Some of them were holding his hand. Some of them were grabbing his feet. Those little kids who could not hold the hand of Imam Hussein, they came, they put their cheeks on the foreleg of the horse of Imam Hussein, giving him this beautiful message that, oh horse, oh the horse of Hussein, we want you to bring our master, our leader, safe back to us. Don't leave him in the battlefield. Take care of him. Bring him back to us. While Imam Hussein was bidding farewell, he noticed that he's missing someone important, very important, a very beloved daughter to him. He said, "Ukhtah Zainab, ayna habibati Sukaina? Where is my beloved Sukaina? I don't see her." She said, "Aba Abdullah, innaha fi kasr al-khiba, fi kasr al-khiba." Imam Hussein dismounted his horse. He went inside the tent. He saw Sukaina alayhi salam sitting, putting her head on her knees and sobbing, crying. He came to her. He said to her, "Sweetie Sukaina, what's happening? Why do you cry now?" She said, "Abatah, Abatah al-Habib, oh my dear father, araka istaslamta lil-maut, because I see you going to the battlefield. I'm going to lose you soon." قال لا وكيف لا يستسلم للموت من لا ناصر له ولا معين. She said, "Then if you are leaving, I have one final request. I have one final request. I want you to do this for me, please, before you leave." قال بلا سكينة قولي حبيبتي, my sweetheart. She said to him, "Oh father, I want you to put your hand on my head and rub my hair. أريد أن تصنع بي ما يصنع باليتامى. I'm going to be orphaned soon. No one is going to take care of me and comfort me. I want you to do this for me." سيطول بعدي يا سكينة فاعلمي من كل بكاء إذا الحمام دهاني لا تحرقي قلبي بدمعك حسرة ما دام من الروح في جثماني. Then after that, Imam Hussein, he asked his sister to bring him Abdullah al-Radi', this is sweet baby, the infant, 6 months old. أختاه زينب إيتيني بعبد الله الرضيع. Zainab brought the baby to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He took him to the battlefield. He raised him on his arms. Ya qawm, in kana li dhanbun fama dhanbu hadha ar-radi'. If you recognize me as a guilty person, what happened to this baby? Why this baby is here? Why this baby is thirsty? Why this baby is suffering? This is how Imam Hussein carried the baby, ya mu'mineen. This is how he carried him on his arm. فَدَعَ الْأَقْوَامِ يَا لَلَّهِ مَا الْخَطْبُ الْفَضِيعِ نبئوني أأنا المذنب أم هذا يا الرضيع لاحظوه فعليه شبه الهادي الشفيع لا يكون شافعكم خصما لكم في النشأتين. While Imam Hussein was carrying the baby on his arm, and the people of Bani Umayyah were arguing among themselves whether to give him some water or not, حرمل لعنة الله عليه. He said, "I took advantage of this argument. I put the arrow in my arch and I hit the small neck of this radi' and he slays him." Allahu Akbar ya mu'mineen. Allahu Akbar. The baby took his arm out and he started fluttering like a small bird on the arms of Hussein. Hussein alayhi salam, he put his palm underneath his neck, and when it is filled with the blood, he throws the blood to the sky. And he says, هَوَّنَ بِي مَا نَزَلَ عَلَيَّ أَنَّهُ بِعَيْنِ اللَّهِ. Oh Lord, as long as you are happy and satisfied, I will be happy. I would not complain about that. As long as you watch what is happening today to me and my family and my children, I will be happy for that. I will be satisfied. I will be content. ثم إن الإمام عليه السلام, he carried the baby on his arm. He would not bring him to his mother Al-Rabab. He went behind the camp. He dug a hole for the baby. He put him in the hole. And then Imam hears the voice, يا حسين دعه فإن له مرضعة في الجنة. Oh Hussein, do not worry about this baby. We will take care of him. Don't worry about that. We will take care of him in paradise. After that, Imam Hussein goes to the battlefield. He mounts his horse. He proceeds to the battlefield. While he's moving, he hears a feeble, fainting voice from behind him. أخي أخي أبا عبد الله قفلي قليلا. Wait for me. Wait for me, Hussein. Wait for me. He turns. He sees his sister Zainab عليه السلام standing. He comes back to her. Yes, yes, Zainab, tell me, what do you want me to do? Zainab says to him, Imam Hussein, I lived with you for more than 56 years. And now this is my last request from you. I don't intend to grieve you now, but I have one request from you. I want you to dismount your horse. Come with me between the tents and open your chest for me. Imam Hussein does so. He opens his chest. She kisses him on his chest. And then she turns to Medina. She says, Ummah Fatima, Ummah Fatima, لقد أرجعت الوديعة ورددت الأمانة. Imam Hussein said, what is happening? Zainab, tell me. She said, when I was 5 years old, baby, my mother Zahra was dying. She called me. She said, Zainab, one day you're going to see your brother Hussein alone, lonely, helpless. Once you see him like that, I want you to kiss him on my behalf. Now I wanted to fulfill this promise. Imam Hussein goes to the battlefield. Wallahi, I don't have the power to mention it. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, this is a big tragedy, brothers and sisters. Imam Hussein goes for the final time. While he was standing, وقف ليستريح أيها الناس أيها المؤمنون أيها المحبين وإذا بحجر يقع على جبهته. He was hit by a stone on his forehead. Imam Hussein carried his thobe, his dress, to clean the blood. وإذا بسهم محدد, a three-pronged arrow came and lodged at his heart. يا مؤمنين وقع على الأرض بسم الله وبالله وفي سبيل الله وعلى ملة رسول الله. The horse of Imam Hussein came, he was circling around him, staining his forehead with the blood of Imam Hussein. And then he went to the khiyam, to the camp. Al-Imam al-Baqir says, كان يقول الظليمة الظليمة من أمتين قتلت ابنها.